Y'all know my love for bad sci-fi movies, right? Yeah, and October is just a field day of bad sci-fi movies, trust me, especially near Halloween. But I'm an even bigger fan of classic old movies. And one of the things I like about classic old movies is that they come with classic old lines. Wizard of Oz, 1939, Dorothy says to her dog, "Toto, I have the feeling we're not in Kansas anymore." Ever use that one? 1948, Casablanca. There are a bunch of good lines there. "Here's looking at you, kid." It works best if you can do a Humphrey Bogart. I cannot. Cool Hand Luke. I hope you know this one. 1967. What's the famous quote from Cool Hand Luke? That's right. What we have here is a failure to communicate. Literature has great, great quotes too. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. What is it? Tale of Two Cities. The book is dreadful to read, absolutely dreadful. I've tried several times, but that opening paragraph is incredible. Diary of Anne Frank. "Despite everything, I believe that people are really good at heart." And my favorite from Winnie the Pooh. "If you live to be 100, I want to live to be 100 minus 1, so I never have to live without you." That's sweet. The Bible is also full of great phrases that we remember and we cherish and that come to our minds in many different situations, do they not? That's one reason I think that Linda is so insistent on our children memorizing verses from the Bible, that you have those verses in your head. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." Even if you don't know the rest of the psalm, although most of you probably do, you know the opening line. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Jeremiah, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with a hope." 1 Corinthians 13, who can start that? That's right. "Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful." In Paul's letter to the Philippians, the words, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." And in Romans, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. And then the most famous, I think, of all scripture verses. Martin Luther called it the gospel in a nutshell. John 3:16, what is it? Absolutely, you all know that, right? Another classic comes from the book of Ruth today. Did you catch it as we were reading that? "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." Why do those lines resonate with us? What's so special about those, or any lines of scripture that resonate with us? I think it's because they capture an important insight about the nature of God and humans. The Lord is like a shepherd towards his sheep. God really does watch over us, making plans for our welfare. Christ does strengthen us to face the challenges of our lives, and things do work together for good when we love and serve our Lord. Those little verses. So kids, if you haven't been memorizing your Bible verses, or Linda, if they keep using the same "Jesus wept" over and over again, open yourselves to new verses. They're summaries of bigger truths. In the same way that movie lines reveal something essential about their characters, right? Humphrey Bogart, when he said, "Here's looking at you, kid," you know is a tender man, a tough guy, but that he's got a tender heart. Lines are memorable because they're so true to their characters. And what Ruth says here to her mother-in-law, Naomi, is so true to her character. When Ruth says, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God," that captures the entire story of the book of Ruth right there in one verse. It brings to mind the faithfulness of Ruth to her mother-in-law Naomi, which in turn is a picture of God's faithfulness to us. Her comments mirror God's faithfulness. Sometimes you see the word loving kindness. It reminds us of Christ's promise to never leave us or forsake us. That verse captures the story of Ruth's faithfulness. Where do you typically see that verse? Can you think of a place where that verse from Ruth is typically used? Weddings, absolutely. It is typically a wedding verse. Her words express her determination to be faithful to her mother-in-law Naomi and faithful to that relationship, faithful to God. We remember those words because they reveal something essential about Ruth, that she was a woman of deep faith and love. But we remember the words because they summarize the entire story and remind us that God used this loving and faithful woman in a powerful way. Ruth went to Bethlehem with Naomi, and there she met a man named Boaz. She married him and had a son who became the grandfather of King David. Because Ruth remained faithful to Naomi and to God, she was able to become the ancestor of the greatest of Israel's kings, David, and of Jesus, if you follow the lineage in Matthew chapter 1. But faithfulness is not easy. When Ruth promises to stay with Naomi, she doesn't know what the future holds for her. Here are three widow women, Naomi, the mother-in-law, and the two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Ruth follows her mother-in-law to a foreign country where she may not be welcome. She does not know what the future holds for her or her mother-in-law. They have no way of making a living in the world without husbands or some man to take care of them. She's stepping out in faith that it will be okay. She doesn't know that she's going to end up with a husband and child and ultimately be the great-grandmother, I think it is, of King David. When the two women arrive back in Bethlehem, Naomi, she's kind of bitter and she's angry. She's lost her husband. She's lost her two sons. She has no future. And we don't know that Ruth, if you follow the story of Ruth, we're not reading any more of the book of Ruth. It's not a long book, but it's a great story. So go home today and finish the book of Ruth to see how that story ends. But she doesn't know that Ruth will become her savior. She doesn't know that there'll be a new family, that there'll be food. All we have in this first chapter of Ruth is Naomi's emptiness and bitterness and Ruth's pledge to stand by her no matter what happens. We don't know how or where Ruth's faithfulness to her mother-in-law is going to lead or end up, good or bad. And that's where we so often find ourselves, with the scary diagnosis, a relationship crumbling, the loss of a job, the death of someone we love. We find ourselves, like Naomi so often, in these empty places, and we don't know how the story will end. Have you ever been there in your life when something tragic happens, like to Naomi or Ruth, and you do not know how that story will end and what the next thing is, and it doesn't look good? We're left with a promise that we're not alone. That's God's promise to us, that nothing in all of creation will separate us from God. Ruth says it, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge." The promise from Ruth to Naomi is God's promise to us. Let me leave you with one more quote from Scripture. Now, this quote and this connection comes out of my Trivial Pursuit, Jeopardy, organized kind of mind, because things just sort of bubble up to the surface and connect in this crazy brain sometimes. It's the other verse that Ruth's words always remind me of, because they seem to echo Ruth's sentiment. See if you can place them. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. Can you place that verse? John chapter 1, right? The opening of John's gospel. Where you go, I will go. And where you dwell, I will dwell. In the start of my most favorite Christmas Eve prayer from the Iona community, when the world was dark and the city was quiet, you came. You crept in beside us, and no one knew. Only the few who dared to believe that God might do something different. Do you get that sentiment, the truth, the hope that the story of Ruth gives to us? For us, the ones whom God chooses in the person of Jesus Christ to lodge with. For us who can see in Ruth's life how God's faithfulness can bring amazing things into our life stories. And this God who chooses to creep in beside us on that Christmas morning, just when we need it most, is the same God who promises to meet us here at this table, where the Spirit can lift us up into God's presence and into the presence of all of those who have finished their journey of faith. Yes, today we celebrate All Saints Day, and we remember those who have gone on before us to join the church triumphant. That's a fancy church way of saying that they've died in Christ. But we remember those people today, here on this All Saints Day. In the Apostles' Creed, we talk about believing in the communion of the saints. That's what we believe, that here at this table, in some spiritual way, God lifts us up, that we share and sit at this table with those we love who have gone on before us in the faith. So with confidence in God's faithfulness and with joy that those we love and who have passed on to life eternal are safe in God's arms and here to share in this feast with us, let us remember them before God. Let us pray.